This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. The trend lines indicate it's the biggest day this year for delivering packages, 30 million destined for doorsteps today in America. I wanted to send you something, but doggone it, I missed the deadline. So your gift is coming via radio here. Three books that I found heartening during these short, dark days. Yesterday, the hippie doctor who wiped out smallpox. Today, the guy who gave away his inheritance as a young man. Chuck Collins is a senior scholar at the Institute for Policy Studies who has carefully studied income inequality. But behind the wonk exterior, there's quite a guy. His book is called Born on Third Base. A one percenter makes the case for tackling inequalities, bringing wealth home, and committing to the common good. And he joins us from Boston. Morning, Chuck.
Great to be with you, David. Thanks.
We have talked before about matters of policy, but I had no idea before I read the book. You were a rich kid?
Yep, I grew up in a wealthy family, and in my early 20s, my first real job was helping these mobile home tenants, and I started to have this front row seat into what was happening with low-wage workers. At the same time, I was watching the wealth in my name double every couple of years, and just something was wrong with that for me, and I made a decision to give away the wealth that I had when I was 26.
You pretty much gave it all away?
Yeah, I when you're 26, things are very black and white sometimes. So I felt like this was my response to seeing these extraordinary inequalities grow up around me. And I also wanted to make my own way, even though the reality is I still have this mountain of advantage coming from a stable and wealthy family.
Connections and so forth.
Exactly. Social capital. You know, I'm white, I'm male, I got a debt-free college education, all kinds of sort of advantages continue to flow. They're sort of hardwired into my life.
You've thought a lot about this issue of income inequality. And in your book, you want wealthier people to, I mean, I'll use your words, bring their wealth home. Explain what you mean by bringing it home.
We're in this period of extraordinary inequality. And I argue that these inequalities are bad for everybody, that they actually undermine the quality of life for everybody. So my message to wealthy people is, bring the wealth home. Take it out of the offshore tax havens and the sort of global financial casino and actually bring it back to the real economy of goods and services and have a stake in helping the whole society make this transition to the economy of the future. So that's a big part of my message.
By the way, you see an economy of the future? A lot of people just see artificial intelligence, robots, automation taking away jobs, and that things are looking bleak in that area. But, you know, I see in the book, but I hear it in your voice too, some optimism.
There's this undercurrent. There's a whole relocalization of the economy, local and regional food systems, new and local energy systems. People are creating jobs and livelihoods based on a kind of more sustainable and equitable economy. And that's where I think we should all be putting our stake in that transition.
I mean, you use a strong term. I've heard it before, but there it is in your book, economic apartheid.
Yeah, if you think about where it is we're going, if we keep on track as we have for the last 30 years, both in terms of sort of growing wealth and income inequality, declining social mobility, and the racial wealth divide, you know, 20 years from now, we will be a racial and economic apartheid society. And there again, that is not in anyone's interests. The idea is we wealthy people withdraw to enclaves of sort of private paradises. But if you put these extreme inequalities together with the ecological crisis, there's no wall you can build big enough to protect oneself from one's children or next generation. The only solution is to kind of re-engage and fix the future and build a more equitable society.
And this is not just impressionistic on your part. I mean, you're the guy with the numbers. You've studied the wealth gap, including how race plays out in defining that gap.
The concentration of wealth at the very top is almost unprecedented since the Gilded Age 100 years ago. We did a report, Billionaire Bonanza, that shows the wealthiest 20 people, enough to fit in a Gulfstream 650 luxury jet, have as much wealth as the bottom half of the society. And part of that is because there's a growing number of households with zero or negative savings and wealth.
Now, this topic is going to be controversial among some, if not many, in our audience. You worry that charity, philanthropy, can make things worse?
In Born on Third Base, I tell a number of very sort of personal stories about how I see people using charity actually to avoid taxation and compound advantages for their own children and communities. The goal of philanthropy should be to address the underlying problems in our society, not compound them. And so when people give donations, for instance, to public school foundations in affluent school districts or to private schools so that their facilities are better and better, you know, the rest of us chip in effectively. You know, when a billionaire gives a dollar, we chip in 40 to 50 cents in terms of lost tax revenue that could be used. So the underlying point is that charity is not a substitute for an adequately funded public sector, which is what really creates the infrastructure and really addresses the deep inequality problems in our society.
It's such a profound, such a structural issue that you raise here, because the foundation of charitable giving in America is often that you get the tax break. In other words, you pay less taxes when you give some money away, and you're shining a light on that.
Yeah, unfortunately, there are abuses. I mean, there's great work going on, obviously, in the charitable sector. But if you sort of play it out, we're basically moving toward a society of big philanthropy. You know, it was Thomas Piketty, the French economist, who said, we're moving toward a hereditary aristocracy of wealth and power, and that the sons and daughters of tomorrow's billionaires will control our culture, our politics, our philanthropy, and media. And that's a concern.
So, Chuck, I failed to ask one thing, which is, it's in the book, so I feel comfortable asking about it. Where did your family wealth come from? I think it's interesting.
My great-grandfather was the meatpacker Oscar Mayer and came from Germany and opened a butcher shop in Chicago. And I have a number of ancestors and relatives who built up this very remarkable and successful company and brand. When I was 21, it was sold to a multinational company.
But this makes you, Chuck, the Oscar Mayer winner, right?
That's right. If you see the Wienermobile on the highway and it has a "We have to reduce inequality" bumper sticker, that's me.
Right. Chuck Collins is a senior scholar at the Institute for Policy Studies, where he has studied economic inequality in detail. The book is called Born on Third Base, a One Percenter Makes the Case for Tackling Inequalities, Bringing Wealth Home, and Committing to the Common Good. Chuck Collins, thank you for this.
Thank you, David.